Craig Counsell has finally done it. The kid from Whitefish Bay is the all-time winningest manager in Brewers history. It was always meant to be. Congratulations to Craig Counsell. Biggest win in the month of June. It feels really darn good to say the Brewers get the W. They win 10-2. Let's have a lot more fun on today's podcast.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, Brewer fans, baseball fans, or just fans. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by the Sports Card Investor app. You can download it today and easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week. It's available for free in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store, or you can go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin. If you're watching on YouTube, which is somewhere you should subscribe, by the way, I am back at home, back here in Milwaukee, getting ready to talk everything you need to know about the Brew Crew, back from New York City. No, I am not with the team, with the Mets. If you missed Tuesday's podcast, I was covering TBS, Yankees, and Rays. We'll have tonight's game as well on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Another night game, even though it is getaway day. It is a 6:10 Central Time first pitch tonight for the Crew, heads to Cincinnati to close out this three-city road trip for the weekend. 10-2 victory for the Brew Crew. Wow, they needed that. We're going to go through what actually went down in this game. Very little about Tuesday's game. Just going to briefly touch on Tuesday's game because that's in the past. We don't look in the past. We look forward. Going to give huge congrats again to Craig Counsell and get you ready for Tylor Megill tonight going for the Mets, what you need to know about him. And we're going to get in some advanced numbers about Corbin Burnes. First and foremost, how fun was that fifth inning? A seven-run fifth inning for the Brewers. It's the first time they've scored seven runs in an inning this season. And the last time they did it, also Corbin Burnes was on the mound. It was August 11th of last year against the Cubs down at Wrigley. It was the seventh-run top of the first inning that the Brewers, that was the game that Burnes struck out 10 in a row, racked up 15 Ks in that contest. That was a good day. And I would have to say, yesterday was a good day as well in Flushing. So the Brewers get 11 hits, by the way. They only held the Mets to 5 hits. Corbin Burnes looked a whole lot better. He pitched through traffic in that tough first inning with 26 pitches, but he goes 6 strong innings, a quality start, 5 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 0 walks. That's the big one we're going to talk about a lot. 8 strikeouts, 1 home run by Jeff McNeil. He threw a total of 97 pitches, 65 of them were strikes. So just jumping back, though, remember the first inning, the Brewers were taking advantage in the first inning against the Brew Crew. Despite with one out, Adames had himself a great day. Starts things off with a double with one out. McCutchen gets hit by a pitch from Peterson. Then Hunter Renfroe gets hit by a pitch from Peterson. That was with 2 strikes to load the bases. And Urias does just enough to yank a ball through the left side to score 2 runs for the Brewers. That certainly helped relieve the tension from Tuesday night's shutout. Look, Chris Bassitt on Tuesday, I've been a long-time Chris Bassitt believer because I've been able to watch him with the A's for so many years now. But Chris Bassitt, you know, may not be the sexy household name a lot of folks like, but he is having an incredible year. He's having an incredible last couple of years between the A's and now the Mets. I mean, since 2019, even with the juiced baseball in 2019, in his last 79 games, he's got an ERA of just 3.37. He's been really darn good. A 440 innings pitched, a FIP of 3.84, a 1.135 WHIP. I know I'm getting lost in the numbers here, but he is a high-quality pitcher that a lot of teams would love to have as their number two option. And here with the Mets right now, he is rolling as a number one given the injuries they're dealing with Scherzer and DeGrom being on the shelf. Really happy for Chris Bassitt. I just like to see him shove against teams that are not the Brewers. And the offense yesterday was, quite frankly, just running into so many outs with the double plays. That was so frustrating that they couldn't get it done. And aside from that first inning from Adrian Hauser, he really settled in well. He did enough to keep the Brewers in this game working into the fifth. He did allow all 4 runs. a few dinks, a few weird play with the ball off his glove when he's trying to jump up. And that was just a weird game. So for Urias yesterday, to get things going right off the bat, a two-run single with two outs, with one out and the bases loaded, huge, huge relief for the Brew Crew in this one. This is a game that they didn't have Rowdy Tellez. He was on the bench for this one. Also gave Jace Peterson the night off, facing a lefty on the mound. So you had Keston Hira starting at first and Mark Mathias starting at second, which on paper you're thinking, man, well, where's the offense going to come from? Well, Jace Peterson just showed up later. What a day for Jace coming off the bench. He nearly hit a home run in this game too, caught at the wall in center field by Brandon Nimmo. But Jace comes off the bench and delivers the big blow in that fifth inning for the Brew Crew. But it started off rather inauspiciously in the fifth inning. Brewers were up 3-0 in the frame, and it all starts off with a Willy Adames single into left field, and Andrew McCutchen flies out. So there's already one out in the inning, okay? Throwing error on a pickoff, one of two throwing errors on pickoffs to first for the Mets in this game, puts Adames over to second base, and then Renfroe draws a walk, and Urias strikes out swinging. So you're thinking, okay, Keston Hira coming up. Jake Reed is on the mound, a reliever for the Mets. He's a right-handed reliever facing Keston Hira with two outs and two men aboard. All right, you know, Keston's had a tough year. The Mets are looking at it and saying, all right, let's get out of it here. Well, Keston gets hit by a pitch, so he's aboard to load the bases. Then a huge at-bat that really started things for the Brewers by Victor Caratini. He has very quietly had a very good month of June, despite the team's struggles here in the month. So Caratini draws a walk. It was two balls and two strikes and two outs with the bases loaded. And he works at the 3-2, takes a couple of tight pitches, and earns a walk after a foul ball. What an AB for Caratini. It scores the run, and the Brewers then take a 4-0 lead. By the way, in June, Caratini is hitting .280. He's got a .419 on base percentage, and his three home runs in May all came in the last week of May. So he's been swinging a very hot bat as of late. Good to see from your backup catcher, as his role has certainly been defined for the Brewers as Corbin Burns' personal catcher and getting the start against left-handed pitchers. So a huge at-bat for Caratini. That makes it 4-0. And mind you, there are still two outs. So here comes Lorenzo Cain. He hits a little chopper over the mound. It was deflected by Jake Reed, and Francisco Lindor, a Gold Glove caliber shortstop, got caught being lazy. He thought he could do the glove flip on the shovel pass to second to try to end the inning there on the force with Caratini running, and he just got a little lazy. He decided to shovel it off when he probably should have just grabbed it by the hand like a traditional out of the glove and toss to make sure you get out of the inning, but instead he clanks it off the heel of his mitt. It allows a run to score. It keeps things going for the Brewers. They gave Cain a hit. I imagine that's not going to stick around overnight. I imagine that will be an error by the end of the night, even though it was deflected. So the bases are loaded now. Still two outs, and only two runs have scored. So it's 5-0 Brewers. And Craig Counsell, the all-time winningest manager now in Brewer history, pushes the right button. He brings his man on base, Jace, into the game. Jace hits a double to right center field that blew this game open. It scored two runs. It continued things rolling for the Brewers. They lead 7-0. They go to get Trevor Williams now. They go with an intentional walk to Christian Yelich because there are runners on second and third. So that loads the bases for Willy Adames. Say that sentence out loud real quick. Yeah, we want to pitch to Willy Adames, who's already got multiple hits tonight with the bases loaded. Buck, I love you. I think that was the wrong call. Just go after Christian Yelich if you can. You're already down 5-0 at this point. I think you're being too cute to be cute. And then Willy Adames makes him pay. A two-run single in the left field to make it 9-0. And for good measure, McCutchen adds an RBI single to make it a 7-run inning in the fifth. Man, that escalated quickly. All the runs scored with two outs. All 7 runs with two outs. That is exactly the type of inning the Brewers needed. The main reason they needed this type of inning, not just the game, but this type of inning, they did it without a home run. We've talked about this lineup being one of the best power-hitting lineups in the National League. They're in the top three in home runs hit as a club. They haven't been hitting home runs lately. They haven't had innings like this with sustained offense, with good ABs, with hitting the ball where it's pitched, small ball, move the guy over, draw walks. This is the kind of Brewers offense that we expected, right? Get a homer here and there. But this is the kind of grinded out good AB team that we were expecting to see more of this season. this is the kind of inning that you're going to circle. Now, not everything is sunshine and lollipops right now, obviously, for the Brewers. They've still only won 3 of their last 14 games. But this is going to be the inning that you circle in a month. And when you look back after the last 30 games or something, if they go something like 20-10 over their next 30 or 22-8 over their next 30, that you circle that fifth inning Wednesday, June 15th, saying, hey, that was the day they clicked back into gear and realized how good they can be, that they don't all need to be hitting a long ball. They're a very good offense as a collective unit, not just relying on one guy to hit a homer. Adames goes 3-for-5. He has a double. He gets 2 runs batted in and 2 runs scored. Lorenzo Cain had a multi-hit day, by the way, including that chopper over the mound that may or may not stick around. Everybody either scored a run or drove in a run, including Keston, even though he was the only one without a hit, along with Mark Mathias, but he drove in a run with a ground out on a fielder's choice. So everyone did a little something today, and it leads me to Jace Peterson. I tweeted this earlier today, or yesterday, I should say, that who do you think is second on the Brewers in baseball reference war, B-war? Corbin Burnes is first. My first gut reaction when I was trying to guess myself, because I was clicking around baseball reference and I saw Corbin Burnes' war number, man, that's pretty darn good. I wonder who's in second. I bet it's Josh Hader. I bet it's Eric Lauer, something like that. No, Jace Peterson, second on the team in B-war. And then a 2-run double helps prove my point there, coming off the bench and nearly hitting a home run in his next AB as well. On base, Jace, I know it's only a 225 average. The traditional numbers aren't exactly kind to him, but hey, a 732 OPS, that's better than what he had last year by a few points. More on par with his shortened 2020 season. He only played 26 games in 2020, but this has been the best he's been in his role with the Brewers in these last couple of years, even despite not being one of the reliable pinch-hit bats for Craig Counsell, because he had to play so much. He's had to play third base. He had to be the starter over there because of all the injuries on this team right now. So with a righty going tonight, I imagine he'll be back in the starting lineup. So awesome day for Mr. Jace Peterson coming off the bench. Awesome day for the Brewers overall. Take a quick breather, tell you about our presenting sponsor. If you've never heard of them, so Sports Card Investor app, it's totally 100% free. You can check in on all the value of your cards. There's over 600,000 cards available. You can be a casual card collector, or you can have something, maybe like you can be a little side hustle going here as an investment opportunity, man. Like, the card business is booming right now, and you can get in on all of it thanks to the Sports Card Investor app. And it's super intuitive too, because you can easily see all the prices, and they have everything available straight through eBay, so you can click collect, have them verified through eBay as well to get all the cards you could want. You can find the best deals. You can just start with your favorite players. You know, maybe you want to look at an old Craig Counsell card in honor of him getting number 564. You can find every card you could have imagined on the Sports Card Investor app. So download it today. It is 100% free on both the App Store and Google Play, or you can go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. Craig Counsell is the all-time winningest manager, and I just want to go through the starting lineup of the first win he had as a Brewer. This was a fun trip down memory lane. So his first win as a Brewer manager was May 4th, 2015, at home against the Dodgers. There are only 4 players still active that played in this game. Brewers won the game, 4-3, obviously. Late heroics in this one from one, the only, Hector Gomez. So he hit a solo homer off of Clayton Kershaw in the 8th inning. He also had a triple in this game off of Kershaw. Yes, Kershaw is one of the only active players left in this game. Here's the starting lineup from the Brewers from win number 1 back in 2015. Remember, he took over midseason for Ron Renicke. Leadoff, Carlos Gomez. Batting second, Jason Rogers over at first base. Ryan Braun bat third. He was out and right. Aramis Ramirez was at third base. Chris Davis was batting fifth and playing left field. By the way, Chris Davis was playing in Mexico earlier this year. That's not happening anymore. I think he's just about retired. KD was batting fifth. Martin Maldonado was batting sixth. He's still active with the Astros. Elian Herrera was playing second base for the Brewers. Hector Gomez, as for mentioned, was batting eighth. He was the shortstop. And Kyle Loesch was the starting pitcher for the Brew Crew that day. Loesch got a no decision. He went 5 innings, 4 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Kershaw pitched well, but he got a no decision as well. Didn't walk anybody. 8 strikeouts working into the 8th inning for him. K-Rod got the save in this one after the Brewers took the lead late, thanks to a 3-run bottom of the 8th inning. It all started with the home run from Hector Gomez to break up the shutout. Go-Go had an RBI double to tie things up, and then a go-ahead single by Ryan Braun ended up winning the game for the Brew Crew. Don Mattingly was managing the Dodgers at the time. And oh, by the way, the leadoff hitter for the Dodgers was, of course, Jock Peterson, who, of course, hit a home run against the Brewers in this game. Life comes at you fast, man. One thing I love about Craig Counsell is watching the reaction from that dugout, and the interview he had with Sophia after the game too was just simply, you know, business as usual. Got the job done. Pretty cool moment for a guy whose dad used to work for the Brewers. He played catch with Molitor and Yount growing up. We've all heard the story a million times. But for Counts, he's always said it's a wee victory and it's all on the players. And he's very vanilla in that regard, but he truly means it. And it's hard to kind of explain that what Craig Counsell has done here in Milwaukee. I mean, I can't see him going anywhere else. This is his place, Whitefish Bay. He is, when you think of Milwaukee Brewers baseball in the last few years, in this great, great window of excellence, first time ever they've won made it to the postseason in 4 straight seasons, and Craig Counsell's at the helm of it all. He was originally hired by Doug Melvin and was part of the bridge when David Stearns came in to take over for Doug Melvin. He's been under Mark Adonasio the whole time. Thank those guys as well. He just does his job, and he does his job well. And he's the kind of guy that the Brewers and the state of Wisconsin and Milwaukee, he's a guy that's just so easy to root for, even if he makes you want to pull your hair out with some decisions, which he always has an answer for his decisions and why he did it. And you may think it's vanilla sometimes, but look, it's not easy to be a manager in the big leagues. And when you're projecting out to the media, when you're talking about maybe some difficult subjects like Lorenzo Cain right now, but you talk to Lorenzo Cain and you see all the stories that come out about Cain, about how Counsell has handled the end of Cain's career and saying, hey, you're probably not going to play that much here down the stretch. Want to keep you aware of it. Want to make sure you're doing okay. Want to check in with you. That's how good managers win clubhouses. That's why so many of these guys love playing for him. You saw Rowdy Tellez dumps the water bucket on him there during the interview with Sophia. That's awesome. It's a really, really cool moment. I mean, easy to root for. 2-time world champion, of course, 97 Marlins, 01 Diamondbacks. Would love to see him get that 3rd ring and put it here in Milwaukee. And I talked about this with Drew and KB the other day when I was a guest on their show on Tuesday. Would Craig Counsell get a statue if he were to bring a World Series here to American Family Field? Heck yeah, he should. Heck yeah, he should. Let's win the pennant first before we start talking about statues. But he's done the hard part. He has become the all-time winningest manager in Brewer history. So congratulations to him. Final segment coming up as we're going to look around and just kind of say, okay, this is a big day today. Really, really big day today. We're going to wrap up Corbin Burns' start here in just a second, too. Here we are. Of course, summer is here. You are out and about, and small businesses are back in business. LinkedIn Jobs is making it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs will help you find the right people you want to interview faster and for free. Everybody's on LinkedIn. It is so easy to use LinkedIn to find a job that you want. If you, an employer, is looking for somebody to add to your team, you can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs, and you can reach your network and beyond with the world's largest network with over 810 million people. You add your job, your purple hashtag hiring frame, and your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you are hiring so your network can help you find somebody you want to talk to faster. With special screening questions, make it easy to focus on the candidates you actually will want to talk to and prioritize who you want to hire. LinkedIn Jobs is going to help you find the candidates you want to talk to. And every single week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn. So you can post your job for free there at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. Again, linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. We're also brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Now, we've talked about the brownies, we've talked about the puffs, we've talked about all the amazing flavors they got. Well, they're always cooking in that kitchen at Built Bar. Now they've got something brand new, Mud Pie. I'm not really a kid that grew up with Mud Pie, like the overload of chocolate, but look, 100% real chocolate and a Mud Pie. If you're a chocolate fan, you know you got to sit down and enjoy this sweet treat, and yet it's good for you. The Mud Pie Bar is rich with whipped cream, chocolate mousse, smothered in 100% real chocolate, and then topped with cookies and cream crumble? Hello! Only 150 calories, only 8 grams of sugar, and the best part? 16 grams of protein. You can replace all your sweet treats with Built Bars to keep you healthy, and they're actually good for you. Tastes great, good for you, perfect combination. Use our promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order at Built, BUILT.com. With Corbin Burns getting back on track, and then we get ready to look ahead to tonight. The Brewers needed that from Corbin Burns. And a big thing, I tweeted about this yesterday. If you don't follow me already, go ahead and do it, at @Dom_Catronio. He's been missing down a lot lately with two strikes. And in his last two starts prior to yesterday, everything was down. He was seeing a ton of takes on good curveballs, on good sliders, and seeing, you know, kind of surprised at how much teams were taking with two strikes against Corbin Burns. You think, man, that's a nasty pitch. And then you realize, well, Corbin's whole deception in the art of his pitching is the fact that he's around the zone. He's not necessarily in the zone. He wants you to chase. He wants you to think it's a fastball, think it's a cutter, then surprise, it's a slider, surprise, it's a curveball. And today, he went back to what was Corbin Burns' mode, and that was elevated cutters, trusting his stuff in the zone. Looking back over his last two starts, he only had 4 strikeouts with pitches that registered as in the zone. Not necessarily whether or not they were called balls or strikes, but as in the actual StatCast-generated strike zone, only 4 of his strikeouts in his last 2 starts were registered as in the zone. Yesterday, 5 of them were in the zone. And 4 of them were on elevated cutters. That could be the move that gets Corbin Burns, because when you're changing eye levels, when everything's as nasty as he is, he can survive a little more than others in the strike zone. When he has that elevated cutter, has players thinking, all right, elevated fastball, let it rip, and then they're shocked when they see this cutter bend away from them, or they're out in front of it or something like that. That can help set up that curveball to land on the outside corner for a strike, get a chase on a pitch that's down, set up that slider, which has been a huge out pitch for him this season. Great to see Corbin get back on track with a quality start and getting the win, too. I mean, I know wins don't really matter anymore, but sometimes you just want to see the win next to him. And someone's calling me right now. But the 4-4 record now for Burns, you get old seeing under 500, you know? You just want to see it be 500. So Corbin gets back on track. Tyler McGill, gets the ball for the Mets here tonight. Again, a 6-10 first pitch going up against Aaron Ashby. So Ashby has to get out of the zone a little bit more, the exact opposite of what Corbin Burns has got going on right now. Think about his last start against the Nats. 10 hits with 2 strikes against them in that whole game. He gave up 10 hits, which was a career high. Ashby, his stuff is nasty, but he lands it for a strike too often with 2 strikes. He doesn't get chases. He doesn't get swings and misses all that often. So I'm really looking forward to see how he attacks a patient veteran team in the New York Mets, with him still just barely past his rookie status. When you look at the average batter age for the Mets, they're the 4th oldest team in baseball, 29.9 years old on that team. Brewers not far off, 29.6, but the 4th oldest team. The oldest, if you're wondering, is the New York Yankees at 30 and a half years old. I mean, listen to these guys. So Jeff McNeil's 30 years old. Francisco Lindor is 28. Eduardo Escobar, 33. Mark Canna, 33. Starling Marte is 33. JD Davis is 29. Brandon Nimmo is 29. You get the point. These guys have experience. They understand how pitchers are going to try to attack them. They have seen a lot because they know how to attack it. They've seen it their entire careers. I wonder how patient they are going to be, knowing Ashby's track record of walking a ton of guys, understanding that they're just going to hunt their pitches in the zone, don't give up on the curveballs that seem super elevated, and then finally attack when they want to. Ashby has 62 strikeouts in just 50 2/3 innings. However, he does have 23 walks in those 50 and two-thirds innings. Not great. Want to see that number fall as he continues to improve in the big leagues. Tyler McGill on the other side. McGill is 4-2 with a 4.50 ERA, 26-year-old righty, another tall guy, 6'7", 230 pounds. He went to an unfortunate school by the name of the University of Arizona. Don't know if you've heard of it. There's a great school up north called the Arizona State University, so I won't hold that against him. But McGill, really good pitcher, brother of Trevor McGill, mind you, dad, he's a big Pac-12 guy. I'm a Pac-12 guy. I've seen McGill pitch in college as well. But for McGill this season, the big thing for him, he'll get a strikeout per inning, but he also doesn't walk guys. And think about how many times the Brewers have faced somebody that is always in the zone. Don't be fooled by a high 4.50 ERA this season. Think about how many times the Brewers have struggled with guys that are all around the zone, that are just attacking, attacking, attacking. It seems like they struggle with these kind of guys. And if they can roll from that great fifth inning yesterday into a guy like McGill, who has given up only 5 homers this year in 38 innings, but opponents are hitting 240 off of him. He's not going to walk you. He strikes about a batter per 9, which is pretty much a little better than league average. This is an interesting matchup for the Brewers. But you also have that bullpen lurking for them. We saw a taste of it yesterday, and that was some nasty, nasty stuff from Joely Rodriguez, who they acquired in a trade. Adam Ottavino will probably be available tonight as well. And oh, by the way, Edwin Diaz is lurking as the closer. And the Brewers will not have their closer, Josh Hader. Josh Hader is gone on paternity leave. Congratulations to the Haders. Maria is expecting, so we were awaiting the news. Josh will be missing these 3 games, so Devin Williams will be closing things out. Brewers need to get in the lead early and hold on to it to keep things ready to go and make sure they're not trailing facing Edwin Diaz, because that dude can lock things down. And the overarching thing, as tough as these last 14 games has been, as brutal as it has been, only 3 wins in the last 14 games, you take 2 out of 3 on the road against the best team in the National League, that'll feel a whole lot better. Right? That will feel a whole lot better. Not saying it's going to be worth it. Not saying it's going to be easy. But winning 2 out of 3 in Queens, that offense, what they just did to you on Tuesday, you punch right back here on Wednesday, and now you're ready to go tonight, Thursday. That could be a fire starter. That could get things going here for the Brewer crew. 6:10 tonight, Bally Sports, Wisconsin. Stay tuned for all the news and nuggets and stats that you want to hear there with Jeff and Tim on the call. If you haven't already, hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, including our YouTube page as well. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thanks so much for listening. We will be right back here tomorrow for a Friday edition of Locked On Brewers. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.